Hello and welcome to the Update Program. I'm Kathy Parrish. My guest today is Dr. Ramona Probasco. She is a marriage and family therapist and a domestic violence counselor, and I think there's some other titles there too. She's also written a book called Healing Well and Living Free from an Abusive Relationship, From Victim to Survivor to Overcomer. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Ramona, on the Update Program.
Thank you for having me, Kathy. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, today, you know, we want to define, first off, I think, domestic violence and abusive relationships in general and discuss how we can heal from them. But I do want a little bit of background about you, if you don't mind sharing. What's your specialty and experience in the medical field?
Sure. I've been in private practice as a licensed marriage and family therapist for almost 20 years. And I like to explain to the listeners that I actually stepped out of private practice for several years to work on my own healing. Mm. So when I say nearly 20 years, less a few years while I was working with counselors of my own to heal from the abuse that was happening behind closed doors. So that's something I'd like to explain. But on top of the licensed marriage and family therapist, I did pursue certification as a domestic violence counselor here in California, which basically means I went through 40 hours of training and then actually sat in on the 52-week mandated batter intervention programs that they have out here, both for men and for women, and then led them myself. So it's quite extensive here in California. And then I'm a nationally certified counselor, so a lot of bells and whistles, but, you know, what I love to do is what we're doing today, and that's chat with people, share my story, and hope that it connects with them in some way and helps them.
Yes, and you do have your own story. Did you find that you went into these areas because of your own story? And we're going to get into your story in just a bit. But what was your own experience the catalyst for getting into this area?
That's such a great question, and I would like to say yes, but honestly, no. Since I was a little girl, I can remember, Kathy, people, even people that were much older than me, just talking to me, sharing with me parts of their life that was causing them pain. And I can remember as a young girl thinking, wow, you know, this person that's, you know, much my senior is sharing something with me. So I think, honestly, counseling is something that we can get trained to do, but it's also a gift that the Lord just gives to some of us to be able to do. So I have a counselor's heart, which started way before any of the school training did. But as far as getting into working with domestic violence survivors, initially because I kept it a secret, and that's very common in matters like this, people don't talk about it, I kept it a secret for many years, and it wasn't until I was going into my doctoral program that the Lord really put on my heart that I was to research domestic violence in faith-based relationships. And I remember I was a part of 11 students that were going through the program, and I was the last to announce my subject because I was so nervous and I was hoping God would change his mind before it got to me. So it was really many years of the Lord working with my own shame and the areas that I was really stuck and wounded and that he had to work in me, because I believe we can only give away what we have. And so I had to go through what I now teach myself so that I could understand it, so I had to give it away to someone.
Isn't it interesting how we are tested and pushed in a certain direction, but we really don't understand fully what the reasoning is? Until we actually get there.
I know. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask the Lord. Maybe it won't even matter when we get there, you know. But I think back, Kathy, of the years that, because we were married nearly 20 years, and just all the nights that I laid in bed back to back often and just tears rolling on my pillow and thinking, God, where are you? Do you see me down here? You know, praying for that miracle, not realizing in the end that the miracle was going to be my life changed and redeemed and the Lord saving my children and continuing to work in their lives. So,
wow.
the Lord works in interesting ways, that's for sure.
Sure does. And as you're expressing that, I'm sure there is someone somewhere who is experiencing that same thing, but may not even know exactly why, because some people don't understand fully what abuse is. Are you able to define abuse and abusive behavior in a way where we can all really understand it?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, abuse can be anything, in my opinion, from a threatening stare to a gunshot. Abuse is on a continuum. And the way that I really explain it in the simplest of terms is when fear enters a relationship, you can guarantee abuse has. Because all couples have impasses. We have disagreements. We have couple conflict. You know, that's just a normal part of relationship. But not all couples experience abuse. And when you feel fear, even if someone has not physically, if your partner's not physically assaulted you, but you have that feeling like that knot in your stomach or that tension, or you're kind of tiptoeing around hoping not to set that person off, that's fear. And perfect love casts out fear. So true love is safe love. So if you mm-hmm. feel fear of your partner, there is some aspect of abuse going on. Mm. That's how I like to explain it.
Well, Dr. Ramona, you, of course, have your own story, as we've alluded to, and so often when we share our stories, we help others to realize they're not alone. So you actually share your story in the book, Healing Well and Living Free from an Abusive Relationship. Would you mind sharing a little bit more of your story now?
Sure. When I grew up, I did not grow up around abuse, and not everyone does. There is no prototype of the type of person that, in a sense, quote, gets into an abusive relationship. And the reason for that is because abuse is about a mindset. It's not about anger. There's a lot of myths and a lot of misunderstanding about abuse and why people abuse. The bottom line is because they choose to and because they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. But there's no prototype for someone who gets into these relationships. It can be all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, you know, color of your skin. It doesn't matter. So for me, I didn't grow up around it. When I met Ben, it was actually, ironically, my dad. And I say ironically because my dad who introduced us, because my parents really had us pretty sheltered. I'm the oldest of three, two younger brothers. We went to private school. I went to all-girls school and actually met Ben on vacation, not knowing we were going to move to the West Coast a month or so later. And it was kind of that storybook romance, summer romance, and then Ben joined the military. And so much of our dating years, which was approximately a little over three years, was done long distance, which didn't give me really a way to, well, we just didn't spend a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm. So you don't get to really learn that person, really know that person.
Right, right. And even if people are together and their situation, their story is not like that, often we don't know what the red flags are, or we blow right past them. We call them pink instead of red. You know, we don't know what to look for, and we minimize them. So fast forward, we got married very young and had children very young. And I accepted the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior when I was 17. And I was all in, and I was very much, I just took God at His word. And I believe from the very beginning, not that this is necessarily His word, but my interpretation, that I could love Ben into wellness, that my love could somehow influence him to stop what initially started as verbal and emotional abuse, and then about 3.5 years into the marriage, started becoming physical as well.
Well, that's interesting that you mention that and that you say that you thought you could help him to be a better person.
Right.
That, a lot of times, is how women feel, isn't it?
Right.
They
yes.
do, because we tend to be nurturing, and we always try to look at things in a positive light, generally speaking. So we're the ones who think that we can actually make a difference in our spouse's behavior.
Right, right. You know, it wasn't until years later when I was reading in the scripture about that gentleman who was paralyzed for almost 40 years and was trying to get into that healing, that pool, and couldn't get into the pool, according to his rendition of the story. And when Jesus was coming to town, he heard Jesus in the distance. He yelled for him, I should say. Jesus came to him, And the man quickly started telling him his woes. I try to get in the pool. People get in front of me. And at that time when I read that story, Kathy, I covered the Jesus' response up in my Bible. And I said, what would I have done? And I know what I would have done. Back in my enabling codependent days, I would have said to the man, oh, poor buddy, let me help you. Let me pick you up. What can I do? You know, I would have I would have played that little violin with him of self-pity. But Jesus' response blew me away, and it taught me something. Jesus said to him, do you want to be well? And I thought, when that hit me, I was like, huh, if Ben does not want to be well, I can love him and you know, until the cows come home, and he's not going to change. That really helped me. That really helped me to realize that there was something that healthy love involves choice. We have to want to receive it. We have to want to be well. We have to want to allow ourselves to be loved and to love ourselves in order to change.
That's a great analogy. Is there a difference, or what is the difference between verbal, emotional, mental abuse, and physical?
Well, it's the way that the abuse presents itself. It's the same, it's different faces of the same animal, if you will. So the bottom line is, how I like to look at it, Kathy, is what do they all have in common? What's the common denominator? The common denominator is the wielding of power and control, one person over another, whether it presents itself through verbal, you know, sarcasm, putting down, name-calling, and that's how mine started off with name-calling primarily, to emotional, to, you know, and with physical, honestly, the clients I work with, even in my own case, bruises heal, and physical abuse causes emotional pain, no doubt about it. But for people that don't experience physical assaults, their abuse is just as serious, just as painful, and in some ways can be more difficult to identify because there's no bruises to show on the outside. So it's really, it's just a different presentation of abuse. Because someone who's going through verbal and emotional, they are spiritual abuse where scripture is being used and twisted to you know, exert that power and control I was talking about. They feel fear too, even though no one is physically touching them with their hands.
Wow. It's really, it can be very involved, very complicated. The whole idea of abuse. And it's so important that we have that faith that helps us to get through. And it's pretty clear that your faith created that foundation you needed to get you through your experience.
Well, my faith, that's true, what you're saying. My faith is the bedrock of my life. And it really, since a young girl, always has been. Even before I knew the Lord, I had a curiosity about God. But also at the same time, my perspective of faith also kept me kind of locked in to a situation that God does not endorse. He's not, the way I look at it now and I understand today, Jesus went to the cross for both the abuser and the victim. He went to the cross for abuse. He took a stripe on his back for every form of abuse. So we don't have to. Suffering for the gospel is one thing. Suffering because your spouse is calling you horrific names or throwing you across the room is another. And Christ went to the cross so that's not the life we have to live, because he went to the cross for us to be free, and abuse is about bondage, not freedom.
Right.
But I had to allow myself to be honest with God. I had to allow myself to be angry and express my confusion. And I think that's a super important part of the healing of healing well, is to be working with a safe person, or perhaps journaling and keeping that journal in a safe place where you feel privacy and you feel safe to write, is what I mean by that. But because if we don't allow ourselves, if we're struggling with confusion, like for me, I was like, God, why? I've been praying. I've been, you know, believing. I've been quoting scripture. I even got up one night, Kathy, to tell you kind of a funny story. I had read earlier that day where Samuel had anointed Saul to be king. And again, still a fairly young believer. And I was like, well, there must be something to this anointing with oil thing. So I'm going to go ahead and try it. So I got up in the middle of the night when Ben was totally asleep. And I went into our pantry and I grabbed a bottle of oil down. And I dipped my finger and I went back to the bedroom. And Kathy, with all my might, I just prayed. I drew a little cross on Ben's shoulder. Mm. And I was like, Lord, please, if Samuel, who's like so amazing and such respect in Scripture, and he's a judge, if he did this to anoint someone as king, certainly if I put a little oily cross, that's what my kids would call them, a little oily cross on Ben's shoulder, then I'm going to see something magnificent in Ben's life. I was desperate. And when I didn't see what I was hoping for, when I was praying for, in many ways, it rocked my faith. So I think, you know, honesty is really a good bedrock to start with God, because we can't pull any punches with him anyhow. And so we might as well be honest.
That's true. If you're just joining us, this is the Update Program. I'm Kathy Parrish, speaking with my guest, Dr. Ramona Probasco, who is a marriage and family therapist and a domestic violence counselor. Now, at the end of every chapter in your book, Healing Well and Living Free from an Abusive Relationship, you offer questions to ponder, which I love the way you end each chapter. You have prayer, reflection, and God's enduring promises. It kind of wraps everything up in a gradual state. You go through one portion, one chapter, and you can get through that and kind of make sense of everything. And then you're ready to go to the next phase of your learning. So the structure of the book is done quite well.
Well, I appreciate that. I do. And I say early on to the reader that it is not my intention to proselytize or to talk that reader into believing in God. That I believe that is a personal decision we all get to make. And so I don't try to push that on people. As a matter of fact, I hope that people that have no faith in God will pick it up, and because it's about healing from abuse. Now, I believe at the core of that healing is the Lord. I do believe that, and I don't hide that in the book. At the same time, I also believe that the Holy Spirit's been doing his job for a long, long time, and he does it very well, and he knows how to reach people, and it's not my place to try to tell someone what they should or ought to do. So I try to be sensitive, knowing that people are going to be coming from all different walks of life, and I hope that people that don't have necessarily a professing faith in God at this point in their life will still be willing to pick it up and read it for themselves.
Well, it seems to be written in a way where everyone can understand. As I flipped through, also, you talk about one of the best things or most important things is to be honest and take that honest look at yourself. But it's most importantly to break the silence, because you feel that shame and you don't want to share that with other people. So how do you get to the point where you can actually break that silence?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard step to get to, I would imagine.
It is. And I believe, honestly, at the root of all of abuse, no matter how it shows itself, is demonic. I do. I believe it's straight from the pit. And so Satan, he does his best work in the dark and in secrecy. So breaking the silence it will probably, in all likelihood, be one of the toughest things that the person does, besides for many forgiving themselves as mothers or fathers, knowing if they had children and the kids were subjected to this. That was a big, tough one for me as well. But breaking that silence requires that honest moment with ourselves. And also, I believe it requires that we partner with someone, that we identify that safe person, whether it is a friend, a family member, a counselor, someone from our church. The important thing is that individual believes us. That's key. And that they will support us in whatever capacity that they believe that they can, to help us to continue to move forward and to take those steps. But breaking the silence is like cracking the door in a dark room. That beam of light is very powerful. So we don't want to underestimate even telling our story to one person, because that's the first step to opening that door wider and wider and wider till eventually we can walk out, if that's what we choose.
Well, it's the power of the truth.
Right.
You know, when you break that silence, there's the truth, and you know that you're going to come up against some sort of obstruction after you do that. But it is, I would imagine, a very brave step to take. And you obviously got there. You were able to break the silence and work your way into freedom.
Well, a big part of that is educating yourself. Part of breaking the silence, in order to do that, is it helps when you pursue information that is accurate. Mm. Because that's going to give you the gumption, the energy, to reach out for help, because it's going to affirm what you know down deep in your gut, and that is something is very wrong. And that something has a name. It's called abuse.
Yes.
But beyond the breaking of the silence and calling it what it is, that's super important, because until we call it what it is, we're going to call it what it's not. And if we're calling it a couples issue or a conflict problem, we're diagnosing improperly. And if you diagnose improperly, then you treat improperly. So that's why it's so important to call it by its proper term. And then you want to continue educating yourself, understanding PTSD, the types of abuse, the mindset of an abuser, what drives abuse. Abuse is not driven by anger. Abuse is driven by lack of empathy and entitlement, among some other things. Then we want to make sure that we don't take any shortcuts, because there are no shortcuts to healing well. Shortcuts, what I mean by that, things that I did in my own story, I would clean. You know, if I could just vacuum those straight lines in the carpet, then all would be well. I felt control over cleaning.
Right.
Exercise. For me, mothering. I threw myself into mothering, and I held onto it with white knuckles. It became more of who I was rather than something that I was called to do for a season of my life. People can use drugs, alcohol, all sorts of things. Worst thing is, I call it the irrevocable Band-Aid, and that's suicide. 25% of domestic violence victims attempt suicide. And that's just the stats we know.
Wow.
So if you're feeling struggling with that, no one ever asked me that. And I did struggle with that. No one ever asked me. So that's super important, to connect with help and to let people know if you're struggling with those thoughts.
Right.
Next is to realize what I call, I actually got the term from Sandra Brown. She's author of several books, but she came up with the term super traits. Basically, those are elevated levels of tolerance, empathy, high relationship investment, over responsibility. And these are beautiful qualities with safe people, but with an abuser, it's going to be a noose around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I encourage people to take an honest look at themselves, how they've changed, because we will develop what I call a pseudo-self, a false self. And I define pseudo-self as who we become to survive what we ignore. Who we become to survive what we ignore. And it's important for us to look at how have I changed? Because abuse does change us. And taking that honest look at ourselves, how have I changed? What were my dreams? What were my goals? What were the things that made me come alive? Reconnecting with those things, because those dreams didn't change because we did.
And you forget that, right? You forget those things when you're caught up in this experience.
That's exactly right, because abusers require, and I know that's a hard term for some people to hear, and it was very difficult for me to call it what it is and to recognize that Ben behaved as an abuser. He did. And in the dual nature of an abuser is the real mind bender, because you have and I'll go with this analogy, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and I know that men are in these situations too. 85% of all domestic violence victims are female, but 15% are men, and I never want to forget about the guys out there, because it's tough for them to reach out and ask for help. But looking at how we've changed and the influence of abuse on our life is, and calling it what it is, and recognizing that dual nature, that I fell in love with Jekyll, but Hyde showed up after Jekyll secured me, after the attachment was developed. And so when you leave the person, if you choose to leave, you're leaving two people in one body.
Mm, Boy, that's, you know, I just never thought of it that way.
I know. I didn't either.
Boy, until you actually were put in that situation and you
right. thought through it. And,
right.
and as I was working through it and the Lord was teaching me and I was working with my therapist and doing the things that I now share with people, you know, it didn't dawn on me. That's why it's so hard, because I still love Jekyll.
Mm-hmm.
Hyde scares the bejeevers out of me, but I love Jekyll, and I have to let go, take my hands off the relationship and surrender, because allowing myself to be treated and subjected to this type of treatment is not loving me. And the
That's
greatest
right.
command is love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The implication is that we love ourselves so that we can have a healthy love for our neighbor.
That's so true. Such wise information. Thank you so much for taking this time together so we can have a conversation about something that's really important, something that so many people deal with and suffer with in silence. We've been speaking with marriage and family therapist and domestic violence counselor, Dr. Ramona Probasco. Her book is called Healing Well and Living Free from an Abusive Relationship. And, of course, we join her in hoping that men and women who find themselves in an abusive situation will be led to get the help that they need and to lean on God's promise, really, that He'll never leave us or forsake us. As far as a helpful resource, we want to make sure we give out your website, because you do have a lot of information there, drramona.com. You have some a page, resources, full of resources, right?
I do, and not only resources in their community nationally as well as statewide, but mm-hmm. also assessment tools, safety planning, what abuse looks like, how do you know if the abuser has changed or not changed, you know, the forgiveness piece. I mean, it's power packed with it's something I wish I would have had
yes.
when I was going through this, let me put it that way.
That's great that, you know, you've organized it where it's all together. So again, for more information on this subject, you can go to drramona.com. And as she mentioned, there's a resource page there. Thanks again, Dr. Ramona, for sharing your experience and sharing so much valuable information and for devoting your career to helping and serving others. We appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you for this time, Kathy. I've really enjoyed our chat, and I appreciate you having me on today.
Thanks so much. I'm Kathy Parrish.
You've been listening to The Update Program. The views and opinions expressed on Update do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership, management, staff, or sponsors of this station. We welcome your thoughts. Send them to Update Program, 3000 West MacArthur Boulevard, Suite 500, Santa Ana, California, 92704. Thanks for listening, and God bless.